Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 81 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Folks,
hello there.
We're back with our second show of the week.
Oh gosh, it's busy.
Yes, and this time it's what we've been playing.
Indeed, yes, it's been a fortnight. Let's talk about some things we've done in some games.
What have you been playing?
Right, well, let's start off with the usual running order. I think Lord of the Rings Online.
Huzzah.
Been, well, let's see, 2 weeks. The first week we did, well, we finally got into Moria properly.
Yep.
We decided to hell with this, let's get in there and try some of this cutting-edge content, you know, about a week before the expansion makes it obsolete again.
We're nothing if not behind the times.
Yeah, and basically just running around there, Dolphin View, Chamber of the Crossroads and Deep Descent, doing various solo quests, but with six of us. Overwhelming force is always the answer. Did very well there, although halfway through one of these runs where we were ticking rings off of the journal, we went down this big spiral ramp and found a big door and thought, ooh, what's in here?
Yeah.
Found ourselves in the Forgotten Treasury, which apparently is one of the hardest instances in Moria for six man.
I thought we did quite well.
We did fairly well. I liked it.
We knew nothing about what we're doing and did not have the right gear.
Nothing. No, yeah, exactly. Just stumbled into the place and decided to have a crack at it. And it's one of these sort of quite smallish looking instances. There's a big sort of round room with a locked door and a whole bunch of bosses guarding these dwarven statues you have to muck about with. Very, very hard work, actually, just working around that initial corridor, that sort of balcony there,
yeah.
Working on the pools and stuff. There was quite hard work, some of the groups there. We're sort of average group level 55, and this stuff was all light blue to me. There's quite a lot of it, and quite a lot of elite master grade monsters in there. And they were doing some weird debuffs with like floating eyes over your heads and snake fangs and things. So I didn't quite really understand what was going on there. The bosses in there have this weird two-state thing as well. They have like a crystal in their chests, and it flicks between yellow and purple, and you have to hit them with this object that you find, the right one, to switch them into the other mode.
A bit like the robots in the film version of iRobot.
Exactly,
you can tell when they've gone evil.
Yeah, so these orc captains were evil and evil. They didn't appear to have a good mode.
I think it was evil and eviler.
Well, in one mode, they're more or less immune to physical damage, and in the other mode, they're very resistant to magical damage. So it depends on your party makeup. If you use this item you loot off some of them on them, you can force them to switch to the opposite mode. So depending on if you've got lots of physical damage or lots of it's not magic, is it? It's tactical damage, isn't it?
It's not magic. No, it's not magic.
But so you have to sort of work quite carefully with the timers and cooldowns on those to get them in the right mode, and then you can wail on them. Did all right, didn't die too many times, wiped once or twice, but the respawn point's only like 10 feet away, so it's all good. Got through all of that, got all this, then there was all the mucking about with the statues. Oh my god, apparently that was some kind of combination lock logic puzzle.
Pour acid on your head.
Yeah, I don't get it. Every time I pull this lever, I get a massive acid damage buff.
Then don't pour acid.
Stop pulling the lever. Yeah, I don't know how
should do it all at once. We all got covered in acid.
Six of us, one on each of these switches, and it's trying to get the coordination right and get the sequence correct, and I think we just got it by luck in the end.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a particular way you're supposed to do it.
Well, apparently one of our members looked it up on the web while we're doing it, and it wasn't the order that we did it.
He didn't know how we managed to do that, but blind luck looks after the ignorant, I think, sometimes. So we've got the big door open.
Yep.
Into the next chamber. Big, big, big boss with another crystal in his chest. And he pretty much whomped us, didn't he? It didn't help with two of our member managing to scenery exploit themselves into a pillar.
Yes, they had a bit of problem with rematerialisation somehow.
Teleporter accident or something, yeah. I think we gave up on it in the end because we weren't quite capable of surviving his alpha strike. We were starting to wear him down, but he just had the upper hand, really. I'm not quite sure what the deal is there. Probably, go back at 65 and own him.
I reckon we should try and figure... We should deal with our gear issues.
I have massive problems with power. I find, yes, as the group's guardian. If anyone playing LOTRO listening knows about guardians, do chip in with some advice, because I'm continually running out of power. I always get those purple debuffs, the fear ones, on me, and then that stops my power regen, and I just run out of power very quickly.
Do you have any plus will bonuses?
I don't know. I tend to go for plus armor class and plus vitality.
Because most of my
choice.
Stuff as a minstrel is plus will.
Yeah. Power wasn't really the problem for you, was it?
No, I run out of power. If our fight's gone too long, I do run out of power.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, chugging the potions, the recharge on them is too slow.
Oh, yeah, I'm chugging potions and all the rest of it, but even so. I mean, it didn't help that I forgot to eat my super rack of lamb and mint before we started the fight, but that may have helped a bit with the in-combat power regen. I liked it, though. It wasn't vastly and obviously well above us. But we didn't win, so it means that we can tweak and we can adjust and we can adapt and try again, and we will crack it. I think I like it.
Oh, we will, yes.
I like that sort of challenge where you don't immediately storm in there and win it first time, yeah, but at the same time you don't just get totally owned by the first creature inside the instance. Yeah, it's a good. We're in the right sort of park, and it's just a question of refinement, I think. So I reckon we'll have another go at that and beat it at some point. Then the other week we were doing our class shopping lists again, back to Calm Dumb this time.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy
instance. We thought we'd do the last time of trying to do that the week before the... let's do it the week before you'd be able to get them using the patch and the expansion. Let's try and get them the old-fashioned way.
Well, I didn't even know about that. Turns out now you can just do skirmishes and get all those through that. So,
Well, some of us can.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. So, we into Khandar. We did all right around the first sections, the big main bit with all the ramps and stuff. And then we came to a bit where we went the wrong way and jumped off a drop that you can't jump back up and didn't have a key to go through the door that was at the other end of that bit. So we all had to die and go back to the start and try again.
Yeah.
That was terrible. There ought to be some kind of step or a ladder. Rails. We could have done a human pyramid, you know, pull each other up.
Tossed the dwarf up.
Nobody tosses the dwarf. And so we went in there again, picked the right fork, killed the boss who's got the key. And incidentally, one of the items I needed, so I was all right. That's everything I need from Khandam. Picked up the key, dropped off the ledge into the tunnel, into this bizarre little instant set where there's like walkways over puddles, and the puddles are instant death, dead, if you put a foot wrong off of anything.
You're a bit bitter still, aren't you?
Well, it's not just me. It's like four or five of us.
Everyone else.
I bet you did
not
it
me.
Once or twice.
No, I never did it.
Yeah.
No,
aren't we smug?
I am. I frequently be told I'm smug.
Don't run in there. Oh, too late. Yeah, you've got these little walkways over this green water, and if you even put a toe in the water, bang, dead, instant. And that was all quite harsh. Anyway, we managed to successfully follow a 10-foot-wide path around a corner after a while, and ended up in this big lake with a whole bunch of tentacles poking out of it, and pillars, and these bird people up on the top, shrieking and stuff. Helgsham? I don't know. I was talking
Cthulhu.
Basically, yeah. So we go in here and we think, oh, fair enough, we'll kill the tentacles, that'll be all right. Kill all the tentacles. That pops, basically Cthulhu, the ancient horror out of space of the old ones. It seems to be some sort of... I think what it was is they desperately wanted to do a Watcher encounter, but the story hadn't got that far yet. So they decided to put in, I don't know, Watcher Light or something.
Well, there's bound to be more than one Watcher.
It's this huge squid monster in this lake. And if you kill enough of his tentacles, up he pops and starts vomiting at you randomly, doing a phenomenal amount of damage in the process. And so then, once he's up, a whole load more tentacles appear next to these pillars, and you have to wallop the tentacles next to the pillar. The pillar falls down, conveniently directly into his face.
Yeah.
Then you're supposed to run along this pillar up to his face, wail on him a bit, and then it all got a bit complicated, didn't it?
It did not get complicated. It only got complicated for people who weren't paying attention.
Yeah, says you, the backline healer, who only had to put one foot on the far end of the pillar. There's three of us up front, the far end of the pillar, wailing on him. You get him down to 25% health. The pillar starts to wobble, and I was a bit slow on the uptake, I must admit. Meanwhile, everyone else is legging it back along the pillar. I've just about realised what's going on.
Run! Mumble, didn't give it away.
Yeah, but which way? And from what?
You were on a thing going out to the monster, back to the land. There was one suitable way. You were at the end of it.
I didn't make it, yeah. You have to run back along the pillar within about sort of 5 seconds, and then otherwise it disappears in the water, and again, paf, instant death if you fall in the water. It's not water, is it? And it's definitely not limeade like I thought it was.
No.
And then you have to run around to the next pillar, and there's four of them, and I don't know what... We had a good old go at it, and we worked out what was going on and how to do it, but I don't know, power again, it's power.
Yeah. I reckon we need more Radiance gear. I don't think it's going to help, but I hear it's what
everything
you need
is better with more Radiance gear, yes. Well, I guess, because from the first time you go into that vast chamber and hit the very first tentacle, even before the squid's stuck his head up, you're in combat. So you get no chance over about, I mean, we were going for what, about 15, 20 minutes in combat in the same fight. So you can't sort of recover. You can't even eat food between tentacle fights or anything like that. I mean, it was just a horror of tentacles. I'm quite traumatised by it all now. I have no idea how... I mean, unlike the Forgotten Treasury, where I think it was, we just need a bit more prep and a bit better this sort of gear, I don't know how you're meant to survive long enough to finish that encounter, because you just run out of power. I mean, the potions help, but you've got to cool down on those. And we were just, all of us, getting totally powered out and then just whittled away by his projectile vomiting. So,
yeah.
I don't think we even managed... We managed the second pillar out of four.
I think we managed to get two down, or nearly get two down.
I don't know. We were wet. You know, it's just so wasn't going to happen, and I've no idea what to do. And again, he's light blue.
And also, we were...
Difficulty.
Over the level of when we were meant to be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. We had a level 60 runekeeper in there. Our runekeeper's gone on ahead to the end game.
Bad map.
Yeah, boo hiss.
1 week ban from
cohesion.
Playing.
Yes, but we'll all be there soon enough, I'm sure. Yeah. So, but I'd really like to try that squid again, but I just can't work out what the trick of it is. I was talking to a new chap in Tuesday New Club. I'll come back to that in a minute, but he was talking about it, and apparently they've redesigned that encounter like three or four times over the last year or two, because you remember when we zone into the area, it comes up with now entering and add square brackets, add name here.
You said now entering Breeland, add, yeah.
So, you know, it's quite buggy, and obviously I'm guessing just no one bothers with it anymore at all because of Moria.
I would imagine there's an awful lot of content people just don't care about, know. People start now, I'm missing out on loads of stuff.
On the one
that's
hand,
an old problem with MMOs.
Well, quite. I mean, on the one hand, they've redesigned it several times, presumably because it was far too easy to start with. But at the same time, everyone else has moved on to other content. So I reckon we're probably like only the third people ever to try this current incarnation of that encounter. You know,
possibly.
Not many people have ever gone in there to do it. But unfortunately, you have to actually beat the squid to get through to the other half of the instance.
Yeah.
So
we'll do it. We'll figure out what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I will respec. That's my solution to everything. I'm going to respec.
I think we should all re-roll runekeepers, just run up and down nuking him.
My solution to being very flammable is respec.
Fire is your nemesis.
It is.
But, lots of good stuff there. I mean, you want to talk about Siege of Mirkwood, because I only just patched it like a day ago.
And you haven't paid any money.
I haven't paid any money yet either, so...
No, I
You've had a look
landed.
At some of the newer
I've played
stuff.
Siege of Mirkwood, yes. The more interesting members of the kinship... The cool members.
The cool members, clearly.
The cool members last yesterday afternoon.
Enough of the abuse. Talk about the new features.
We were doing some skirmishing.
Okay, yeah, so this is the new mechanic they've added with Mirkwood.
To start with, you have to go talk to the guy, you have to go get 10 things from orcs, so you're just killing orcs until they're 10 drop.
Right.
Then you have to kill another...
It's an MMO, after all.
Kill a number X orcs to be able to get another item.
Right.
And then after you get that, you go off to do some skirmishes.
Right.
And essentially to the first couple, teaching you about the basics, you have to go to Bree. You can join these from anywhere, but the first one, Bree, you have to take 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Capture 3 flags, basically.
Okay. So a little bit like the Battle for Orcair, those rings, the
very much
stuff.
It is very, very, very much like that. Without a specific time limit, but there is one really there because it's timed waves on you.
Yeah.
And the other one was defending the Prancing Pony.
Okay.
But those were just the tutorial ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then I logged in and did one on my own, which was great fun. And then we jumped in with 3 of us and did one.
So it sounds like they're scaling sort of thing there.
Having done solo and 3-man,
yeah,
they were challenging both times. And
so it's adapting appropriately, good.
They are incredibly fun.
Yeah, looking forward to trying some of those.
And you get a large number of tokeny things for doing it.
Okay.
Which can be redeemed for stuff like... You got your warrior sergeant guy thingy.
So there's an NPC.
You get one NPC each.
Okay.
Some people in the group have done them as healers. I've done mine as a protector, which is effectively a tank.
Right.
Because when I'm soloing, you're not there. And boy, do I need a tank.
I imagine
as a
I should be making a healer type, yes.
I can kill anything
as
long as there's one of them.
Right.
The moment I get more than one thing attacking me, I get too many interrupts and I can't heal myself.
I see. So very quite challenging and perhaps new ways of playing the game to be worked out,
that
sort of thing.
Yes, and... You level up these guys by spending some points.
And you can buy them abilities.
Using the marks you get from doing it, you'll get 20, 30 a time from doing various deeds and whatnot, and also for doing objectives in there.
Hmm.
You can get them new abilities. You can level them up in various areas. So like I've upped my guy's taunts quite a way to make sure he always keeps seeing bad guys on him.
Right.
And I've been upping his melee attacks.
Yeah.
You can also swap it out to be, you know, a healer or whatever, and you can
reconfigure
them. It costs money.
Okay, fair
enough. But you basically got, you know, you start with the warrior one, which is just basically a damage dealer.
Bunch of warriors.
But you can
attacks.
Have a herbalist who's a healer, or you know, the protector like I've got, and there's some others.
Right.
You can buy cosmetic things to change what they look like.
Cool.
That's last on my list of things to buy.
Well, quite. They need to be viable first, but yeah.
And we can also sell these items we get from doing this for faction rep items for trade-in.
Oh,
so we can buy, I don't know why you ever would, but Malthams and stuff, but also the harder stuff. So
right.
if you went through Skirmish for ages, you could fix your rep with someone else.
So Council of the North or whatever, you can crank that up by doing skirmishes effectively.
Yep. And also our class items that we've been doing.
Oh, that'd be good. No longer need to find six people who all also want to go to the end of some abandoned content that no
six
one else
six people can. Who won't moan about doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough.
Yeah, so I think skirmishes are our future, and pay that money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I worry perhaps that these will distract people away from the main story, the main grouping, the main instances.
I got half a level from just playing around with a couple of them yesterday.
Mm. So will these become the new game?
I don't know.
Everyone will be hidden away in these instances.
I don't know how many I've got available to me, about 12 or so, I think.
Or perhaps this is just everyone that they're new at the moment.
You can configure the difficulty level on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to get a bit repetitive, but you can always make them really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds very City of Heroes, actually.
It does sound quite
similar kind of mechanic.
What I was thinking, it's a lot more like Anarchy Online.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you do your sliders at the start to say what you want, and then it spawns a mission. Mm. Okay, the map isn't dynamically generated.
But one of the problems with Anarchy Online is that pretty much everyone did these missions all the time only, and the actual open world stuff in Anarchy Online was very much wasted and not used.
I think it's going to be a discipline thing.
Yeah.
We would get bored if we just did skirmishing, but I can see us putting couple of weeks into skirmishing.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been trying some of the battle for Orcair and whatever, and I've enjoyed those.
Those are skirmishes.
Yeah, effectively.
In all but name.
Yeah, so this is if you've done any of those, you'll know what the skirmishing's about.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And when you're doing this, you get waves of enemies coming to you, and every so often one of them will be a lieutenant.
Oh, yeah, a boss.
A big, tougher guy with giants coming at us and trolls and stuff.
Right.
And what we had, Runekeeper... What's Matt?
Matt's the Runekeeper.
What's Steve?
Lawmaster.
Yeah, Runekeeper, Lawmaster, and my Minstrel. And we were doing quite well.
Fair enough.
Mainly because we could all heal.
Yeah, and three tank pets, effectively, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, we had Shutty out.
Uh-huh. Shutty the Rock, yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. So, good. So skirmishes are good.
What about
anything else in the new thing that you've seen that you've liked?
My pre-order bonus goat was nice.
You got a goat for getting around in Moria. Okay.
There's some crafting for legendaries now, which I haven't actually done.
Uh-huh.
My Scholar Guild stuff, there's a whole load of new recipes for me for crafting there, which I need to get some money together and do.
Check my Cook's Guild,
I don't know if the cooks will do it because it's all for legendaries.
Well, I imagine there'll be another rank of foods and consumables.
No, I don't think so. No, it's still only Supreme, but there's stuff for me to be able to do legendaries. I know I get it, I don't know.
I can't imagine what you'd need cooking for to improve legendary items. Make them taste better.
You could have oils and stuff for maintaining a weapon, maybe.
I'll have to have a look.
Yeah. What else is there that's new?
Have you actually been into Mirkwood yet at all? I suppose it's all a bit higher than we are.
We haven't got out
Moria yet. Fair enough.
We've got the harrowing tales from the two people who've made it about how harsh it was at level 55 has sort of put me off.
Yeah, something to bear in mind. When you get out of Moria, the elves hate you.
And
will hate you for a very long time.
Elves should like me. I'm an elf.
You're a Rivendell elf. Perhaps there was some kind of civil war or something.
I might just stockpile past skirmish points so I can just bypass all that hassle on the other side.
Possibly.
Isn't it just a sort of like a 10 mission set?
Apparently there's a set of 10 quests you do that will effectively earn you out of kill on sight.
I call that content.
Well, fair enough. It's something you're working towards for a purpose, yeah.
Doing 10 quests in a row isn't a grind, it's content.
Absolutely.
That's my... I like it. The best change, of course, is the way mounts have changed.
But yeah.
You can go through doors on mounts.
Yeah.
I went into the last Homely Home.
Yeah.
In homeliness.
Yeah.
And I was on my goat and I ran through into the big building in Rivendell.
Yeah.
With the doors open. And all that happened is I dismounted on the other side. So you can go through.
You're not allowed to use horses in there anyway. So
no, but it,
Elrond gets all finicky.
It did it sensibly. I went through transition, and I was on foot when I got on the other side, just how you'd want.
Good about talking to NPCs on horseback.
You could talk to NPCs.
That was always a bit
strange.
Yeah. You are too busy to talk to that person down there. Have you tried shouting? Yeah.
But, we're just really bad horsemen. We can't control the horse. Constant adjustments.
You say anything, the horse thinks it's talking to them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
Adjusting the trim on the horse so it doesn't pull to the left.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of this expansion.
Right.
So far.
I shall probably have to get around to buying my copy of that soonest.
Yep.
Okay. So, Guild Wars. A bit of low-key Guild Wars. We had a new member of the Tuesday New Club. Yeah, Malty. He's a new chap joined us. He was all very worried that his level of skill would let our side down, and I had to explain that the Tuesday New Club wasn't an ironic guild name. And we demonstrated a couple of times. So
it's a competition, but not for success.
Yeah, the comedy wipe, yeah. A bit of low-level Nightfall stuff, really, because he's not got all his way through the campaigns, and I always think that it's important that members should be able to get to all the places in each campaign first, so, you know, typically the highest priority goes to people who haven't finished a campaign yet. So we've been working through some of the early corner stuff in Nightfall, working on the command post and trying to find our way to Vabby, all good stuff. Which has actually been quite handy because I had a ranger that was more or less on those missions as well. So I'm working up one of my alts through there at the same time. Yeah, something for everyone. And of course, everyone's getting pages ticked off in their Nightfalls little books.
Yep.
Which they can hand in for faction. So
there are no losers in a night like that.
Absolutely. It's just nice not to be doing, oh my God, crazy end game stuff every 5 minutes. There's been no City of Heroes, I'm afraid. 2 weeks off various real life engagements, so I've missed a fortnight, and I'm wondering if it's all still there when I'm going to go back, or whether this is indeed the hiatus I was thinking about. Let's see, what's the other one I can do? DDO. I missed 1 week of that because it was a works Christmas day. I've been going out and seeing real people and talking and seeing, you know, doing stuff, and it's all very, very helpful and therapeutic. And
what did you learn from socialising?
That I like computer games.
Yeah.
With DDO, we did the Vile Apothecary, which was one of these very long and extreme dungeons in the marketplace. You go in there and it pops up a little warning exclamation mark next to the side. This is an extreme dungeon that features difficult monsters or puzzles or traps and stuff, and it did feature pretty much all of the above. That was the one we went in where the very first room erupts with fire and stabby blades and everything, and we wiped about two rooms in. Well, we went back. And we got all the way through it, and we did it. It was very hard work, though. You're talking an hour or two, probably a bit longer, really. Full team needed, of course. The level advantages help a lot as well, if you're a little bit over-leveled for the place. Lots of invisible thieves appearing out of nowhere and attacking you. There's a whole bunch of them that can crowd-control you. It's not fun being hypnotised every 5 minutes. I mean, I'm suggestible enough as it is. Lots of traps, lots of jumpy puzzles involving acid on the floor.
I don't like jumpy puzzles.
Big pools full of acid, much like our Lotro experience, actually. Only these were actual puzzles, not just people being bad at following a quite wide path around a corner. First room we get into, it's a big square room with a load of acid on the floor and a whole bunch of different pipe works sticking out of it. And you're supposed to basically do a jumpy puzzle across these pipes to get to the other side. So us two rangers had a go at it first and just about made it across. I caught a heel in the acid as I left the last jump, which took half my health. You can survive for two ticks in there, so you've basically got to get straight out if you muck it up.
The side down?
No, we were ahead. We were at the front. We did it. We were like, come on, it's easy. You just got to jump there, and then off of that one, and then you're fine. You know, and there's like loads of groans on the team speak. Yeah, Torag there is not a keen fan of the jumpy puzzle at all.
That's because he's a sensible person.
Well, it turned out that Drill, who's our sorcerer, has passed an intelligence check in real life, because it worked out that if you go along to the edge of the room, there's a ledge that runs all the way around the outside. You just mantle onto it and run right around the edge of the room and off.
And we were so effectively, you are a massive dumbass.
There's no effectively about it. No, so that was all right. We all got through there. And whole whole number of corridors of invisible ninja thieves appearing out of nowhere and acid jet traps that later we come across another one. And we think, okay, well, we know about the mantle around the edge of the room now. So Zoso there jumps up on the edge and works his way around. And this is another room with lots of cauldrons in and acid on the floor. Gets to the switch at the far end of the room, which he needs to flick to open the gate so he can carry on. Flicks the switch. Whoosh! This is basically just iron grates fly up out of the acid everywhere to block any number of different jumpy ways.
Who
out
set
of
that trap?
It suddenly turns into a maze, yeah. And there's another one that shoots straight up out of the floor next to where we were all standing when we were watching it. So we nearly all got impaled there. So, yeah, I'm not sure if he made it out or not, but I think we may have gone on without him because he was slowing us down, which was unfair. This is crazy. It's just constant, oh my God, you want us to do what? And there's three or four more rooms full of acid. I mean, we got to the boss fight in the end after a number of coloured crystal light switch trap puzzle type elements. And the boss went down really quickly. So something of an anticlimax, but very good fun all in all. I'd recommend The Vile Apothecary. I think the accompanying quest is called The Proof is in the Poison. It's in the marketplace, and it typifies exactly what Dungeons & Dragons should be all about. You know, the big dungeon crawl, the traps, the puzzles, the monsters, you know, the teamwork and the mazes and all the rest of it. It was a really good sort of representative example of what DDO Dungeons can be and should be about.
Yeah.
It was really good. I recommend it. The thing is, we sort of found that we were basically running out of free quests now. We more or less have. I think there's one or two that we can just basically keep repeating to continue to level from here on.
Has the wheel fell off the sheen?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Some exactly. Other mixed metaphor.
The penny has dropped out of the other shoe, absolutely. So we all had a bit of a confab and decided to pick one to go and buy. But unfortunately, I missed that week, so I haven't bought it. But this Friday, presumably, they were all trying the Sharn Syndicate, which is about 250 turbine points.
Judging by the complaints on Twitter, I guess they all died.
I don't know. I saw a lot of people wondering where I was and that they needed me, which is it's funny because basically I'm just a back row DPS. There must have been bigger problems than that, I think. But, so I will buy it, because I imagine, hopefully they didn't blast through it all. Well, this is my worry, see, if we start agreeing, oh, all right, we need to buy some content, and that's all very good, I approve of the idea, and I want to chip in and all the rest of it. But if it gets to the point where we're having to buy one of these adventure modules a week...
Then you subscribe.
Well, you might as well have subscribed, because I'm sure that's going to be cheaper. I don't know what the exact, how many points you get for how much money, turbine points and things, but certainly the low-end adventure modules range from about 300 turbine points up to about 600, and I don't know what that is in real money, but I'm guessing that if we end up cranking through one of those a week, it's going to be much worse value for money than just being a subscribed member, who presumably get all these for free, but even then I'm not sure. Do the subscribed people still have to pay for extras?
I don't know.
No, me neither, but yeah, so I'll need to buy that, and hopefully there'll be another run-through of the second part of it next week, because quite looking forward to that. Lots of Warhammer Online. I seem to have fallen for that in a fairly big way. It's all working as advertised now. The level 10 trial, yeah. But it's endless. Thing is, you are going to run out of content in that two map pairing very quickly. I think. I mean, I've already on my third character. I think I've been having a lot of fun with the Knight of the Blazing Sun though, which is the Empire's tank class, and it really is a tank. I've gone crazy with talisman making, and I've managed to, according to the tooltip, I managed to increase my physical damage reduction or resistance to 106.5%. Which ought to mean that they heal me when they hit me? I don't know.
That doesn't sound right to me.
It almost certainly isn't happening like that.
I do remember back in the early days of EVE, Timplan, and this does sound like a Timplan.
Yeah. I think the Timplan involved six multi-phase shield hardeners to give you like 3,000% resistance or something, but... I do take damage, obviously. I'm still quite weak to incoming spells because I haven't talismaned up for that, but it really is a juggernaut of destruction. It's not so much the killing. I mean, it's like any tank class in any MMO. You're massively durable, but can't do a lot of damage. But as long as I got an ability that cripples people, that's all I need. I run in front, the entire chaos front line and alpha strikes me. I survive that. Get in close to them and start crippling a few of them. All the while cycling my AoE sort of paladin aura command things that they get. And I will die, but it'll take them about 15 to 30 seconds of about 20 of them wailing on me for it to happen. Meanwhile, the rest of my lot have got a free run at getting through. That's basically what the tanks are supposed to be about in that game. Although, I have learnt another fantastic ability. You find a warrior priest, and you do not lead their side. Well, I get an ability that splits damage between me and a party member.
Yeah.
It's a bit like in Lotro, the shield wall there. There's something similar in there. And I just slap that on them, and then I just make sure that I'm always next to them, and we just go off charging. Just any old random warrior priest who must be thinking it's his lucky day. I just start following them around, wailing the hell on whoever attacks them. They're massively... I think the warrior priest is very much the counterpart of the Disciple of Cain, basically melee front row healer. They need to be wailing on people to charge up their heels and so on, and it really works well. I mean, the times I get spectacularly owned and taken down is when you've got a Disciple of Cain and a DPS melee with them, and when they work as a pair, that there's, you know, only the full might of the Zerg can take them down. So, and you pick your fights. It's a lot of fun. I'm very much enjoying the new Omsprank ORVR. I mean, I have pretty much exhausted the PvE content in that first pair of maps already, but that's fine. I'd roll up another class. I want to try, because it does have interesting mechanics for each class, which is something you don't find in many MMOs, I suppose, but. And I want to see how they all work. I think I've rolled up a Sorceress now as well, which is basically the Chaos. It's the Dark Elf ranged DPS. I think it's the opposite of the Bright Wizard.
Okay.
It's the charge up, charge up, charge up, increase more damage. But all the time you're charging up, you run the risk of totally wiping yourself out as well. So, you know, you have to keep dumping the magic points, otherwise you end up with a fatal overload. It's quite fun. But that doesn't seem quite as satisfying, because that basically is hang at the back of the Zerg and just keep tabbing to see if anyone's in range and then launching the big long doom bolt thing. So I haven't tried a Bright Wizard yet. I'll have to give that a go, but it's probably going to be rather similar. It's interesting that they there seems to be a counter to each of the classes in there. There'll be an equivalent on the other side. I need to try the Witch Hunter or Witch Elf. That's the sort of stealth class. I had a go at those during the Cheap Seas thing, but never really given much go. You got the ability there to occasionally vanish and then run in and do something and come out of stealth in backstab, that sort of thing. Seems a bit precarious, but worth a go. So enjoying that. I'm wavering. I am. I'm really sort of quite tempted by a sub with that. But I hear the stories about... I mean, tier 2 and 3 are pretty much desolate, empty wastelands. But the tier 4 sounds like it might be fun. I don't know if I want to put in the time, because it's going to take time to get up to that sort of level. A lot less than most normal MMOs, from what I can see. But.
And if 2 and 3 are a bit desolate, then it's not going to be the best experience to get to the fun bit.
No, quite. I sort of wonder what they can do about that. I don't know. But tier 4's definitely where it's all at. Also, the population imbalance worries me a bit. I mean, I'll quite cheerfully roll, you know, before I log on, because it won't let you see who's got the upper hand before you pick. So I just flip a coin and decide whether I want to play on my order or destruction server for that night. And I'll cheerfully be order, you know. I mean, they tend to get steamrolled quite a lot in the tier 4, but strangely on the tier 1, it does still seem quite balanced. So I don't know. I'm quite tempted with that. I don't know. I have to think about my schedule and if I want to commit to however many weeks or months it takes to get up to the good bit. I want to see the Land of the Dead, you know, that's the big expansion. That's a sort of RVR PVE area. I don't quite know what that's all about. And yeah, the tome unlocks in the cities and stuff. I sort of fond memories of those. So it's quite compelling. I'm sort of very tempted. But we'll have to see. Don't know. Almost no Xbox at all, really. I've had a bit of a quick go at Borderlands here and there, but very much absorbed into my MMOs, I'm afraid, this last fortnight.
Get out.
Well, there you go, then. Why don't you talk about stuff,
right,
including your 360?
Okay, Lotro?
Yeah.
I actually did my first, finally got around to it, crafting instances.
I heard people were saying they were a fantastic way of earning money, but I've not had a go at them myself yet.
Basically just a combat instance with lots and lots and lots of resource things.
And as a cook stroke farmer, is there going to be
any radishes? Yeah, you're probably completely stuffed if there's one for you. But I've been doing the scholar one. Quite good. Handy way to go in and kill people, do a nice bit of content, and then get slaughtered because I can't deal with multiple targets because I'm doing something wrong. So I figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Have you gone crazy on your traits for the whatever your healing line is?
I may have an incredibly group centred.
I've done exactly the same thing with my Guardian. I've basically gone with the entire Defender of the Free set, just so that I'm good with groups and aggro. Yeah.
What I need is the ability that WoW's got to switch out.
That would be nice. Maintain two different specs. Yeah. I mean, I've just seen Lotro not so much copying, I suppose, but adapting many of their gameplay elements to use things that have worked for other people.
Nothing wrong with that. In fact, no, that's how you should do it.
Exactly. So perhaps on their list, we ought to look for... I think they're on their list. They're coming.
They
will sort it one day. But I'd love to see, two different sets of traits. Simple as that. Flick between them at the bard. You know.
Yes.
I don't know. Just so that I can become more solo friendly on those rare occasions when I do log in on my own.
Give it a cool down.
Yeah.
Be fine.
Hmm.
Yeah. Apart from that, not a lot. I did some exploring around Moria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really enjoying myself in it again.
Yeah.
I've just been soaking up the atmosphere.
Ah, good.
Because
renewed enthusiasm.
All my game enjoyment comes from atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah. Eve?
Ah, you've been playing some Eve?
I did a bit of Eve.
Have you actually been playing some Eve? Or?
I logged in. No, I undogged.
Oh, right. Okay.
To look at the new planet. They're rather gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks really nice.
I'm sort of tempted with that as well. I've got a feeling it's going to be sort of a rather large all change on my gaming coming up at some point soon. Out with the old, in with the new.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
It's good. The new email stuff is nice in it.
Mm-hmm.
The web browser even allows us to do the editing on the website on our website. So that the heavily Ajax-based scripting editing thing we got for everything in there works.
Oh, okay. So you've been basically floating above gorgeous planets and doing unrelated web tasks using the in-game.
Yeah.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah. The new web browser is really nice in there.
Okay, good.
I'm beginning to think I might need new corp.
Mm, so were you doing missions or
no, I haven't done
mining
a mission
or anything?
In
years. Did you even fire any of your high slots at all when you were in there? Or just...
The ship I was in had no weapons.
Oh, fair enough. So trading then, lots of marketeering? No, you were just looking at the planets and surfing, weren't you?
I was looking at the planets and I was...
No change there then.
I was wandering around with my covert ops cloak.
Well, before you need a new corp, you need a new motivation and a new direction.
I'm wondering if the new corp would be a new motivation.
Mm.
Somebody who actually has... Yeah, ongoing combat.
So does this constitute as a formal LFG request?
I don't know.
On the show now?
maybe, I don't know.
Mm.
See, I'm really selling myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I need to get back into Eve. That much is clear. It's too
bear
good
in
a game
mind, if you do hire him for your Eve Corp, all of your secret Corp movements and battle plans will be recorded and reported on a twice-weekly basis, on a bi-weekly basis.
How many of the secret battle plans for my current Corp have I mentioned?
That's only because you don't play.
They
don't tell you.
I get all the information from the forums.
Anyway,
yes. So, yeah. Eve good.
Eve good.
I do like the new patch, so that's quite good.
Mm.
The new expansion.
Yeah, you say Eve good, but you're not actually playing. And is it a motivation thing, a direction thing?
It's a direction
thing. There's a problem there if you all you do is log in and skill train and look at the planets.
There is a problem there, or a good thing there, the fact that even though I'm not playing that much, I'm still logging in occasionally and still don't
you're
mind
still
playing.
Interested. But, yeah. Well, this is the thing, but
need something to do.
I have a similar sort of philosophy with Eve. It's fascinating to hear about and read about, but just I don't find myself motivated to actually play or get involved in it much. It's very much a spectator sport, and for that I don't really need a sub.
Yeah, I want to be involved though.
Mm,
so
fair enough.
I'm going to start progressing that, I think.
Yeah.
That's it for MMOs. I did actually download the trial for Warhammer.
Oh right, the 10-day trial.
Haven't played it yet.
Oh, fair enough.
Okay, moving on. PC gaming.
PC gaming.
Yes.
Blimey.
I downloaded KOTOR for £2 or whatever it was.
Oh, it was one of them Steam deals.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Played half an hour of it.
Yeah.
And yes, I did only play half an hour of it before stopping. Got told off on Twitter. No, I have completed it before. It sits there in a position on my computer of I can play this whenever I want. And
yeah, there are a lot of PC games I have.
It's a comfy place to go to for games.
Yeah, there's a lot of PC games I've had that are just in stasis because an MMO moves on, an MMO's ongoing, whereas the PC game, single-player game, will just sit there and wait for you to pick it up again.
Yeah.
So I find less pressure to play those than online games.
One thing I noticed, still got frame dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the explosions still bugging my frame rate up on however many year old game.
Oh dear.
PC gaming.
Maybe there's a patch.
No, the patch would have been sorted out by Steam.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So it's just that bad.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. Still a great game. Then there's console gaming.
Right.
I, of course, finished Assassin's Creed 2.
Uh-huh, your completionist gameplay. Oh, I don't know, I'm looking at your thing there. It says 45 out of 50. That doesn't sound like completed to me.
Feathers.
You still got the big overriding collection quest to finish.
Feathers, glyphs on side of buildings, and there's a couple of others. Yes.
But you've done the story to your own satisfaction.
I've completed the story from my own satisfaction, yes. Mm. I do love that game. It is really good. I can't wait for the DLC next year.
Mm.
I played some...
Must finish the first one.
I played some Kingdom for Kieflings.
Whee!
Kieflings, sorry.
We like that.
Yes, I do love that game. I was logging
an RTS without any of that pesky combat.
I was doing some online multiplayer. I was just sitting there looking to see who dropped into my game. I decided to do a feature where I'm going to do that, and I'm going to record the conversations with random people who come in. I'm just going to interview people. It's going to be my new podcast. It's going to be great.
Right. Sort of like Carpool.
Yeah, like Carpool, but with... Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yes. Actually, one thing, I need to... gather 10 different totems. So
see, I knew this wasn't any kind of social thing or a podcast or an interview. You're just trying to farm the banners or towers or things just so that you can 100% it.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I'm still playing the damn thing. I like the game.
All right.
And there's DLC coming out.
People are not a commodity.
People are a commodity. Anyway, I think that we're going to have to do something and get listeners to come in, and we could maybe, once I figure out how to record...
Sounds like an eminently fine idea.
I might turn it into something and just have people come in and play.
Fair enough.
Yes, what else? Oh, Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl came out on 360.
It's the old Games Workshop orcs and elves playing American football.
It's been out for the PC for a while now.
Uh-huh.
And I got the 360 version because you've got to support them. If you don't support them, they won't keep making the games.
Right. Okay.
I've admittedly only played one game and I got absolutely slaughtered. I need to figure out how to play the damn thing.
Learn to play, noob.
Yeah, it was a little harsh.
Okay.
I couldn't remember anything about Blood Bowl.
Mm, something to do with passing a ball around? I'm not entirely sure.
Don't think I've played a proper game.
To be honest,
of it
I think I prefer OpenRVR in Warhammer Online because at least you just go in the net to kill people.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to worry about a ball.
Presentation wise, the game looks a little weird.
Mm.
It looks a little bit. I hate to say amateurish.
Oh, okay.
I'm not entirely sure what that's all about. But apart from that, it looks like they've captured the game.
Okay.
But since I can't remember what it was like to play the game or how to play, I'm not the best judge.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, hopefully by the next one of these, I will have figured out what I'm doing.
Hmm, yeah, give it a bit more, see if we can work out what's going on.
Then there's Forza 3. I've been playing that pretty obsessively.
Yeah, sort of an ongoing running theme.
Yeah.
They're liking that?
Oh, very much so.
How are you doing in there? Is there like a Class A license or top number of points or something?
Level 36 or 7 out of 50.
Okay. So, working away at it.
And I'm in year 4, I think, out of 6.
Oh, you've only got so much time.
No, loops around at the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It goes up. Each year you have this overriding championship
spread
out throughout it, which is for different classes, you know, A, B, C, D, and R1, R2, R3.
Right.
I'm working through those.
Uh-huh.
I just unlocked this lovely Ferrari, which made me, at the end of the first lap, be 30 seconds ahead of the rival. Admittedly, it was a full lap of Le Mans, so that's quite a long lap.
Yeah. Well, if in doubt, come back with more levels, yeah.
Yeah.
come back more powerful.
Unfortunately, the game's reached that point where... the progressing stuff is getting, the races are getting quite long.
Mm.
So, you know, it wants you to do 30 miles or something.
Oh, God, all in real time and real distance.
Yeah, so you're just thinking, okay.
So how long would that take, roughly, on a race?
20 minutes, probably.
20 minutes? That's not... Yeah, I suppose for a racing game, that is quite a lengthy stint. Yeah.
But there's always other stuff you can do, which is shorter races. One of the nice things it does is have, you know, you might be in the R1, R2, R3 class racing cars, but you can always go back and play Class A, drive around in a Mini.
Redo the stuff you've done already unlocked.
And there's lots of stuff you haven't done, because you at each stage, you have a championship race, then... a fortnight to do something else, which gives you three choices of a race to do.
Okay.
Of a championship thing, of a series, sorry.
Yeah.
And you can only pick one of those three. So there's two others you haven't done.
Oh, so there's quite a bit of replayability there.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yes, after you finished year 6, you can keep going on for a long time.
Okay.
With new races. In fact, there's an achievement from getting a gold, coming first in all of them.
Well, yeah.
Which is something like 900 races.
The Iron Man achievement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because it was cheap, I got Need for Speed Shift.
Need for Speed Shift.
Which, you know, I'm not a big fan of the
playing a bit of that earlier
for speed stuff, but it's a lot more brutal.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I got it was because Forza is punish you for crashing, a very technical, very sim type.
Yeah, yeah.
Need for Speed has points for aggressive driving.
Yeah, I saw the top of the screen, like, trading paint and blocking and stuff. And it seemed very burnouty, I suppose.
Yeah.
But not quite as ridiculously spectacular.
I've turned the damage off.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having a blast just ramming people off the road.
Yeah. It's faults of, but for the darker side.
Yeah. Yeah,
fair enough.
It's by no means as good a game, but it is quite enjoyable. And unfortunately, I've hit the point where there's a lot of, this is a technical driving one. You need to just ignore the aggressive, just hit it on and do it
this lap
perfectly.
Fun.
And yeah, that's
got Forza for that.
I've got Forza for that, and Forza's better for that.
I see.
Which, yeah.
Burnout Paradise then for the total total smash up thing.
Yeah. Well, Burnout though, you don't really have more technical takedowns.
Vertical takedowns. And things, but
Need for Speed, you've got to just sort of nudge somebody off to make them spin out without taking you out, sort of thing. Whereas in Burnout, it's just hit your boost,
slam into people. Yeah,
try and push them into the scenery.
Hmm.
So,
is there any more Burnout coming? Do we know?
Nothing announced, but this week on Twitter, the entire team spontaneously started Twittering again, mentioning the game. Now, either they're pushing it for Christmas, or they're actually come out of whatever black mode they're in for, dark mode for whatever they were developing.
So, and getting potential ready to do DLC stuff. For Paradise or something?
I think Paradise is probably finished.
You reckon?
The team at Criterion, one of them's working on a new Need for Speed game.
Oh,
because they got given the license and said, do good on this. I would imagine that the original Burnout team should be working on the next Burnout game.
It'll be something,
it's a couple of years old now. You need to really...
The last thing was a phenomenal success, so there's bound to be something new to follow.
I hope so. So I'm hoping they'll announce something. And
free
I don't
money.
Know what way they're going to go, but I'm quite hopeful that they've taken the lessons they learnt with the DLC on the last one and the island and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping the same sort of thing, but maybe bigger.
Yeah.
With just more six-monthly expansions of new islands or something would be good. Because people will be willing to pay for it, I think.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I'm not playing Burnout at the moment is I've done the stuff, and most of the stuff that I do now is a bit repetitive. And if I do jump on for some online, that's okay, but that can't keep me occupied for that long.
Yeah.
So if they were added new things to do, new game modes and what, I'd still be playing.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Do that, Criterion, please. I know you listen.
Nah.
I do wonder who listens. I know we got a couple of game dev people who do listen. But I don't know who else,
Well.
Does the entire games industry know about us? I doubt
it's
it.
It's unlikely, isn't it?
do the big wigs at Turbine sit there every week listening to see whether or not we're going to pass favour onto Lotro?
It's highly improbable, really, isn't it?
It is rather.
Anyway, so what else have you been playing?
And I know the people at CCP don't listen. Probably getting on for all I've
played. I mean, remember last time we did a show, I was mocking you for not having opened Left 4 Dead 2. Have you had a look at that yet?
Oh, I played a quick game of Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah?
Not an awful lot of it.
Still needs more analysis.
Yes, I just haven't been in a Left 4 Dead 2 mood. I did a single... Not really setting myself up for best experience. I played single player on one of the campaigns.
It's very much a multiplayer game.
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let me just flick back through my list of things. Mm. Talk amongst yourselves. Forza, Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed, Forza.
Mm.
Forza.
It's a lot of racing then, really.
Forza. Forza, Assassin's Creed. Yes. Those two games are pretty much... captured my imagination.
Excellent.
Yes. So I guess that's all I've played. Wow.
Right. There we go. Something of a lighter roundup this time. But
yeah. Well, we've done 48 minutes on it. Mr. Oh, I haven't played many games
this week.
We might need to pad.
Fair enough.
Okay, do we want to move over to the Twitter question?
Yes, okay, the Twitter question. It's terribly bad of me this time. I seem to have... I ran out of ideas.
Again?
Yeah, I know. Podcast question, got nothing. Over to you. What would you like to be answered by us?
Oh, bollocks.
Yes. Kind of put you and myself on the spot here a bit. So do you want to have a go at this then?
Nope, you can do all the talking.
I can do all the talking.
I will answer the questions if I deem it appropriate.
If they're above your notice. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, Eric's Cho wants to know, do you like the skirmishes in Lotro?
Yes, I love them.
I haven't tried them yet. I shall probably be trying them some point over the coming week, though, and I shall probably have lots to say about those and what we're playing.
I hope Turbine add more, though, because I can see
it's quite a limited set at the moment.
Well, no, just I think they need to constantly add more.
Oh, I see. People will just grind through them and get fed up with them.
If they keep them going, then it'll be a primary content for a while.
Continual release. Okay, fair enough. Max Castillo wants to know, when will you think of another legitimate podcast question?
Never.
I will. I got ideas and things probably coming up at some point.
You have to use it this week then.
Okay, Bevis there. With more news of the 40k MMO lately, what would be your race of choice? Yeah, we saw, they were concept art, weren't they?
There was some concept art. I didn't really report on it because
it seems a bit
early. It was Games Workshop concept art. Yeah, it could be anything.
I think they were 3D models of some sort, but yeah, not actual, just drawing.
Yeah, it told us nothing.
It didn't tell us a lot, no.
My race of choice would possibly be Orcs.
I'll go with Eldar because I have a massive self-involved waif-like streak at times. Quite melancholy when I put my mind to it. And plus they get these cool wave cannon vortex weapon things. But yes, that's there. So let's see what we've got. Here we go. This is a good one. Pete Walker 74 says, I'd personally appreciate hearing a bit about your daily lives outside podcasting and gaming, job, family, etc. Thanks, fellas.
Outside of podcasting and gaming?
Yeah.
What does he mean?
Well, there's...
I don't understand the question.
Well, day jobs and stuff.
We go to work in the morning to the podcasting offices.
Podcast
where
factory.
Our team of crack researchers spend the week handcrafting the news.
You're lying.
And working out the script for the What We're Playing show. That's quite hard. We've actually got to the point where we've got people playing the games for us.
Yes, we have to farm some of that out, third party, yes. I am a software tester stroke graphic designer in
a small
to medium electronics manufacturing company. And there's not really a lot worth speaking of there, to be honest. It's a 9-to-5 job, much like anyone else listening. I spend most of my evenings and free time playing the MMOs that I then talk about on the podcast at the end of the week. There you go.
I write software and spend the rest of my time working on podcasts.
There we go. So it's not a stereotype. We do just generally have no lives outside of gaming and podcasting. So it's some small consolation to be able to do this once a week, and I do enjoy it immensely. So let's see what we got. There's Mashim with, what is it about WoW that keeps it at the top while so many other MMORPGs fail or stay small?
Momentum.
You think?
Yeah.
It wasn't always the case. It wasn't always huge, was it?
No, I think there's a critical mass.
Yeah.
And once you have that, much like Fusion, when you have that critical mass, you're fine.
It then explodes. Bathing everyone in gamma radiation.
Oh, but if you've got enough gravity to hold it together.
Fair enough. I think they have a very savvy and very on the ball marketing department. They push it hard. They support it with constant releases. They make sure boxes are on shelves a lot of the time. And the critical mass. I think word of mouth goes a long way as well. As long as you've got people blogging and podcasting and complaining and flaming about your game. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Nope.
It's when no one's talking about your MMO at all. That's when we suddenly, the first thing we'll hear is 6 weeks later, we're closing the game type thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think the Far Eastern thing, they've done very well there. Something like half of their massive 12 million number
13
is,
wasn't it, or something?
I can't remember what the current number is, but
we don't know the current number because they stopped mentioning it after the kerfuffle in China.
It's
and
still
they lost
huge,
an awful lot
though,
of people
and something like half of the market that for that immense huge massive number was in the Far East, China I think specifically, but Korea and so on. I think they're very savvy with the global marketing. I think not many MMOs do very well at that. They'll either just flop entirely in the Far East or you know, they'll have a token showing that generally doesn't help the overall numbers vastly.
So that's
my guess anyway. I think if anyone knew exactly how to be as successful as World of Warcraft, they wouldn't be doing podcasts. They'd be millionaires. So there's a bit of guesswork there, but that's what I reckon anyway. We got there. Hung Donkey Man. After a stressful day of breaking Lotro whilst updating, what's your worst MMO updating experience?
Oh. Mine would be logging into Galaxies one day and finding out they'd replaced it with a totally different game.
Oh, there we go. I thought we were going to get a whole show without mentioning the NGE. Star Wars Galaxy. I never stayed for the NGE. I left. They did it in two stages, and the first was the combat upgrade.
Yeah, the combat upgrade is what I was talking about.
That was the worst, because they just suddenly slapped an arbitrary 80-level scale on everything, and it just... Yeah, the grind became painfully transparent. I don't generally have bad updating experiences as a whole. I mean, I'm the sort of person who will just come to the update a week after everyone else, or, you know, whatever. I won't be there on the launch day hammering the login button. I'll come to it a few days later. It's sort of mini 3-month rule, I suppose. If there's something massively critical and game breaking, they'll have found it and fixed it within a week. So wait for then, you know.
Is that pessimistic optimism?
It's pragmatism. That's what I call it. With a huge dash of apathy. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Tiger Ears wants to know, how do I get infinite lives in Contra on the NES?
You don't, because cheaters never...
I'm sure somebody asked this last time we did this question. Cheaters never win. As well. I don't know is the answer.
And winners never cheat.
Mel Mothulu wants to know, Pringles or Wotsits?
Neither.
Pringles. You see what they've done to Wotsits lately? Because they're all baked now, because baking is healthier for you. It's just this like styrofoam packing covered in cheese dust these days. Yeah. And I remember Wotsits being a lot more robust and greasy.
Did they change Pringles as well? I saw someone complaining about that.
I don't know. Pringles have always been pretty bland and middle of the road, but at least you know what you're getting with those.
I don't like Pringles.
No. Well, I don't like the infusions. They do these crazy... I'm drifting here. Let's move on to another question. What have we got? Oh, there we are, Dr. Torag in with, what are your gaming food and beverage of choice, and do you want fries with that? So what? Let's have a little look across the gaming desk here. I'm seeing.
Can we not mention the number of...
This is your intervention.
Yeah.
Well, then you can answer the question for yourself.
Beer and Coke.
A lot of Coke Zero, because drinking normal Coke in the quantities I do would be bad for you.
Have you managed to buy any Coke Zero in the last couple of weeks?
It's strangely absent lately.
I've gone to different supermarkets. I'm wondering if there's no Coke Zero anywhere.
I think they've discovered something. They've withdrawn the whole thing, and I've probably got permanent liver damage or something.
Please go to your local supermarkets and report back whether or not they've got any Coke Zero, because Hampshire is out. So sorry, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't generally eat while I'm gaming, but I have been known to chain smoke occasionally when I'm sat at the desk there, which isn't bad. It isn't good for you at all.
No,
I don't recommend that.
And it makes you grumpy.
It makes me grumpy, apparently. So there we go. Let's see what else we got. Let's Slugrino. I can't remember if you said Lotro Kinship picked a new fantastic hat. So did you pick one? Do we have a fantastic hat?
We do, but not everyone bothered to get it.
Oh, is this the pimp hat with a huge ostrich feather? Yeah. The trouble is that was a quest reward, and I think I accidentally sold it, so that's gone.
Dumbass.
I know. I thought we were using the pumpkin head from the...
We didn't all get the pumpkin head.
Okay, so we're still... the answer there is we're still looking for a fellowship hat.
If anyone has any recommendations on a good hat for Lord of the Rings...
Ideally, it needs to be a craftable one so that we can have them on demand, but useful or interesting quest reward hats are also good. Okay, what we got there? Chemlack says, what upcoming expansions to existing MMOs are you looking forward to? Why? What do you think they will do for the games?
None.
And we're just pretty much through the big expansion. I've just push now,
both the MMOs I care about have just had their expansions last week.
Eve with its Dominion and Lotro with Siege of Mirkwood.
I'm not looking forward to any more. I'm looking forward to the next content update for... Lotro, there you go.
Well, we were all bitching about this in Guild Wars, because the news that they pushed Guild Wars 2 back to 2011 sometime now is the Guild Wars game itself really does need something new to keep people interested between now and then, we've decided, and we'd like to see a new campaign. But presumably, if the reason they pushed the Guild Wars 2 back so far is that they haven't got time to finish it in the time they said, then they probably haven't got time to spare anyone on anything for Guild Wars 1 either. So we could really do with something new in Guild Wars 1, I think, to maintain everyone's interest. As for the other MMOs I'm playing, well, I don't know, really. I mean, I don't know if there's any big expansion news coming up.
Don't know.
Certainly, I don't know if Warhammer Online's got anything in the works. The last big thing they did would have been the Desert expansion, Land of the Dead.
They got something planned, but I can't remember what it was.
Mm.
It's not a news show, I don't know about news.
No, quite. Off duty, fair enough. DDO. Well, DDO have gone with this micro expansion thing. They're continually banging out lots of little adventures now, and I've yet to gauge the quality of any of those to the point where I would be looking forward to more, so hard to say. I'm just trying to think of any expansions at all off the top of my head. Rise of the Godslayer for Age of Conan. Do we care?
No.
No,
right. Not at all.
So not really, I think, is the answer there then. Also, always Chemlak goes on to say, what IP would you like to see made into an MMO? Aren't we, yeah, I'm sure this is a familiar question.
Postman Pat.
I don't know. I'm generally very wary of IPs turning into MMOs. I mean, I suppose single player games.
I would like to see Star Wars turn into an MMO.
Hey, I see what you did there. I mean, a lot of people excited about Star Trek Online, so we'll have to see how that pans out, what that turns into.
I'm unreasonably excited about that.
Yeah, I think you should know better.
I know.
I see. Gothwalk, day-to-day lives, what do you do for a living? Whether podcasting has made any difference to it? No, not really. Podcasting's the thing I do in my spare time, and I love it for what it is. It doesn't really
it's
impact
not made
my
us
job
rich, if that's what you're asking.
We're still doing day jobs, which is a problem, yeah. Some mistake and went on to explain about the smite button and Roxfall. Roxfall, everyone dies. Apparently it's a trope used for bad GMs when they want to just scrub the whole night because it's going terribly wrong when their players have all decided to act up. So, yes, being able to have the ability to do that would be awesome in online games. Afraid of the Light, tell us more about yourselves. Oh, God, what were these personal questions? I should have thought about this. How was the Tim and John Gaming Partnership formed? How did the podcast come about?
Should I take this one?
You can take this one.
Well, back in the late 80s, I was the drum programmer for AHA, while Tim was a roadie for Duran Duran.
Yeah.
And we were doing a tour of Europe, and it was the big Berlin show. I don't know if you remember. It was the big one about unification. Because people wanted the Berlin Wall to come down, and we just basically met there. And
I wasn't happy with Duran Duran's artistic direction, so.
And I wanted to be more involved with AHA, but I wouldn't was not to be.
Yeah.
And so we just started playing games instead.
Yeah, and then podcast came naturally out of that, as they do.
And one of those facts was right.
We'll leave that as an exercise to the listener. There's one from Sentak there. How about telling us when you're going to do a tour stateside with the recordings in front of a live studio audience?
It works for...
This ties in with that we still have to do a day job and this podcast makes us no money.
It works for Kevin Smith.
Yeah? Does it? There's an established format for this.
When you look by our book, then we will do it.
Okay, so when
Kevin Smith put
out?
A book out or
needs to write a book.
Transcripts of the podcast.
Well, that seems like cheating. I think he'd write a new book. Whole
Ricky Gervais is getting his podcast animated and put on TV.
Right, and that's where you see us in the same ballpark as Ricky Gervais.
No, I just see me sitting in the corner drinking, being bitter.
I'm sure that will come about sooner than you think. See, Asgard, if you had to pick only one MMO to play, what would it be? Oh, this is a cruel one. I never have an answer for this. They're all my children. I love them equally.
I'd probably save... Yeah, which is ironic, since it's the one I'm not playing.
Oh, if I was put on the spot, I'd probably have to say, I don't know. It's the people, isn't it? I play for the people, not the games. I could ditch anything I'm soloing, but it's the ones where I've got the large static groups of friends that I've made over the years. I wouldn't really want to sever myself from those. So by necessity, those games become the venue for those nights out, and those games then become very important to me as a result. Although, I'm seeing a lot, Tuesday Noob Club was a Guild Wars thing initially, and pretty much everyone from that is now playing DDO as well, so if, heaven forbid that we ever got completely bored of Guild Wars, we've shown we could potentially move en masse to something new, and it's the people, not the setting. Depends if everyone likes the particular games, though. I mean, these sorts of giant moves of guild can be very divisive. That's when you're going to lose half of your guild, is when you all decide that you're bored of game A and we're all going to move to game B, and half your guild doesn't like game
B. You have to turn it into a meta guild at that point and have it across multiple games.
Yeah, then you start up with your message boards full of people who all keep in touch via message boards, which is fine and good and nice, but essentially don't meet each other anymore because they're all playing in the different local chapters.
You have people drifting out and in and out of various games, and eventually everyone will cross.
It's nice, yeah. I mean, it's nice to have people waiting for you in a game that you're trying for the first time, I suppose. Yeah, it's difficult. I find myself playing far more MMOs than I'd like to as a result of friendships and wanting to maintain them. If it were down to me, I probably wouldn't play 5 in 1 week. But
it's not healthy.
Situation means that it's what seems to have come about. Kuznik 2000 wants to know how properly to say bloody hell. I think he's obviously referring to some of our team speak. Bloody hell. That's the absolute astonishment, dismay type of bloody hell there. Well, bloody hell, sort of, oh God, here we go again type of thing. You know, there's a great many ways to swear. in Britain, and the different context for each.
Is that even considered swearing?
I don't view it as such. No, I wouldn't put an age rating on it based on that.
O'Brien hell is in a metaphysical DS9 concept. Could say that. Yeah. Without it being any problem, so it's not swearing. But only he could say it. Swearing. None of the others.
There are
could.
Many words
he
that
could
I
only
consider...
say it because he was Irish.
Yeah. I see. It's a dramatic device used to give a certain roughness of character.
I believe so.
Yeah, I see. That's why I do it, of course. Yeah. Scroll. What else we got? Oh, this Tepotastic bitching that I wasn't there on Friday. I'm sorry. I probably should have told someone I was not going to be there.
Apparently, you suck.
Apparently, I suck. Yeah, and he's done a little P with a colon. Is that a sticky outy tongue?
Yeah.
That's very rude, young man. It wouldn't change and you'll stay like that.
He's still banned from playing this week.
Let's see. Oh, what we got? Actually, PQA, is this too late? No, it's not. You made it onto the show. Well done. And also wants to know, what is your favourite beer and why? Okay, you better take this one.
Tea. It's made by the Hogsback Brewery, just outside Guildford.
T.E.A.
Yeah.
The acronym there. Stands for Traditional English Ale.
Yes, and it's... Oh, there is actually
there's
a bottle.
An empty bottle here yes. at hand.
It's a bit dusty. And it's very nice.
I don't really have a favourite beer because I'm more or less a teetotaler by habit rather than principle. But if pressed, I'll probably go with Cronenberg.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
there you go.
Saying nothing.
Cultured. I don't know. I just point at the taps blindly and hope I recognise one. And that's, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Well, you're skipping over changing from Bob agreeing with my PME idea.
Oh, yeah, what's it? I will totally start calling these games PMEs. It makes a lot more sense. Also, it's easy to pronounce, kind of. Yeah, this is us talking about the international human rights laws when applied to video gaming and the distinctions between civilians in combat zones and private military.
No, that was nothing to do with that. That was persistent multiplayer environments.
Oh, well, that.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of PMCs.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, see, we've got somebody else agreeing with us on that.
Right,
so,
yeah,
we've almost won the battle.
Instead of MMO.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I think it's going to take a lot more minds changed to get that turning up on Kotaku and so on.
All the cool kids call them PMEs.
All right. I won't argue.
Okay.
Cool. So, did we want to look at the forums and stuff?
We had some comments on forums.
Yeah.
What do we have? I grab the mouse back.
A bit of a roundup of the vanhemlock.com website.
There's a couple. There's one here.
Comments and things.
Commented on the 8th of November one.
Okay, who's this?
It says at the bottom, the Abbot Ansel.
Good name.
A brilliant name.
I like that. Okay.
He first of all apologises about being a month late on the comment, but it doesn't matter.
Better late than never.
Although he's catching up on old episodes and this is a news show.
Ooh, don't overdo it. I'd recommend no more than four a week. Or
I don't get why people catch up on the news
damage show. I don't know.
The other show, yes, because we're awesome, but the news is out of date.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
He's basically going on about the console games versus PC games on market share.
Okay, yeah.
And
this is
saying,
a recurring theme in all the news we talk about.
Saying that, you know, the recession may well be going on for a lot longer than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And puts forward the idea that PCs are going to come out of this better because they last longer, are more reliable, and the games are cheaper. And so when it starts to bite a bit, people are going to cut back on the console spending and they're not going to replace the consoles.
Ah, I see. So in many people's minds, a PC is a necessity, whereas a console is a luxury.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of angle?
Yeah.
Is it certainly possible? Yeah, certainly. So it makes sense.
It's possible. I'm not entirely sure I agree with the idea that people are going to cut back on the games that much because of the recession.
I think there are some things you do to take your mind off how crap your life is.
And
gaming can be one of those.
It's gone down and it's suffering because of the recession, but I think that the major suffering is going to be in the production side, not the consumer side.
You compare computer games to movies or a night out at the pub or whatever, generally staying in with the console is a cheap night in, literally, you know. So I think there'll always be... I don't think we'll see it die off entirely.
I think in the long term, both PC and consoles are going to benefit from the recession.
Yeah, also it depends on your circumstances. If you have a technical job, odds are you'll need a PC available at home anyway. So working from home, this, that and the other. PCs become much more functional and required.
Studios are going to suffer, but the actual sales on the consumer will be better. Because they will just continue and people will keep... buying those.
Yeah, I think a lot of this, perhaps some of this is in response to my complete about face a couple of months ago where I first discovered the Xbox and went a bit mad about it all. But it's telling that what we're playing this Fortnite is almost entirely on the PC. So, perhaps there is a certain habitual thing about it all. I mean, I knew I wasn't entirely going to abandon the PC, but it's interesting to see how, I don't know, there's an attach rate, and I appreciate that the console's there, and I will use it again, obviously, but I think, the PC is still very important, and always will be for me.
Until it breaks.
Well, yeah, that'll be the test, isn't it? When it all dies on its arse and when I decide, shall I bother upgrading it? Because that was always the big thing.
Okay, and we got a comment from Ackley on the last news show.
Okay.
On the Games Workshop, he says he thinks it's a sure sign that the product can't really stand on its own feet when fan-made stuff threatens to kill the product.
This was us talking about pirated rule sets being given takedown notices on the web, that sort of thing, and about pirated.
Games Workshops have always been rabid about their IP.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's a standing on its own feet thing. I think it may be a case of overly smothering with love.
Excessively zealous about looking after their core business.
Games Workshop must believe that what they're doing is right and that they're trying to protect their games.
I think it's hard to believe that they hate their customers.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's in business. Well, yeah, I mean, people grumble about, oh, customers, ugh, roll eyes, etc. But at the end of the day, if you're creating a product that is a hobby, you want a community to go with it.
Yeah.
You want them to be on board. You want them to like what you do.
But, yeah, I do think that this Games Workshop attitude is a problem for them and could well limit the success of the...
It's not the first time I've heard a story like this.
No, they do it every so often.
They do it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Clamping down on people publishing fan-made rules.
He also jumps in on the Ericsson story.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that as a Swede, he should support Sony Ericsson.
Right.
But he can't. Their phone are all hype and very little function.
Right.
They're doomed.
I'm not that familiar with
phones. And he's got shares in them. Yes, they're definitely
not.
Any
time to look for a rearrangement of your portfolio, perhaps.
They're definitely not at the high point of the phone market.
Mm.
And then we got some comments on episode 80.
Episode 80 was what?
Last week.
Last week. Oh, of course I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, this was, the rules about war and conflict and gaming. Yes.
Dr. Torag says that we support the BBC's public service remit superbly. I agree. BBC, put us on air.
Fantastic.
Stabs says that he doesn't buy into the notion that games show bad stuff so that it should be made to stop.
Well, I think, this was very much... I can't remember what we were generally coming out with at the end of it all, is that it's useful to be able to have the freedom to do anything you like in a war game, but at the same time it would be handy to promote... Or at least, make people aware that there are rules to conflict.
Yeah. He says that if games are art, then the job of art surely is to show, not to judge. All Quiet on the Western Front, the Trenches poetry of World War One, poets like Sassoon, both include breaches of international law but are widely regarded as inspiring a more ethical world.
Yeah, it depends on the portrayal. I don't imagine anyone would imagine that All Quiet on the Western Front is a glorification of
and
no holds
says
bar
that,
war.
The show itself was inspired by the games that break international law, so surely the conclusion should be that those games that succeed as art, because they've inspired discussion and thought, not games that should be made differently.
Good point.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah. And he says the exception is America's Army and games like it, which purport to show the real world job as the armed forces of various countries.
Mm.
I couldn't agree with that.
Right.
Put it perfectly, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ackley comments regarding how games handle human rights laws of war. I can only say that I think that the best system is perhaps to let the players do anything, but keep track of what they do and give feedback. It all depends on the game, I suppose. If I'm playing a hardcore military shooter, I want to be able to target the wrong thing person, laser paint the church and destroy everything I feel is threatening.
Mm.
Ideally, I'm then penalised and or reprimanded for my behaviour.
Well, this is it. I mean, freedom but awareness.
Yeah. In a non-realistic game, I think that such feedback function would spoil the fun. I seem to remember being court-martialed in Falcon 4 for dropping a £1,000 bomb on a mosque. I blame the weather. Actually, I did similar things in that game. You're aiming at a target and you take out a district.
It just goes any old way. Fair enough.
Yeah. The rules that apply are hammered in during soldier training, also in every staff planning course, at least over here. He's in Sweden, of course.
He's talking from some degree of military experience there, but yeah.
He's also got a comment on your answer for his podcast question.
Is it Sweden that has compulsory military service?
I believe they still do,
Was it Norway? I remember hearing
about
it once.
I think they're both maybe.
A lot of the
Sweden
less populous
does.
Countries do, do that, yeah.
His answer to your answer about the podcast question, which was finding a new guild to stop the shard hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea to start a mini revolution in the guild to stop the shard hunt. Only real problem is I'm the guild leader.
Ah. Right.
Also, he wants you to play Saints Row 2 with him.
I've got it. I'll have to install it and learn how to play it or something.
It's a console game. You
I know. I have to install them to the hard disk to stop the disk going crazy all night.
Anyway.
I haven't even looked at it yet.
Play with him. It's a brilliant game.
Fair enough.
And it's great fun and co-op. I did it with Andy.
Fair enough, yeah. I'll have to get around to having a look at that.
And those are the comments for that.
Excellent. Yay. Yeah, we do appreciate the comments on the blog there. It's always interesting to know if we're just totally talking out of our backsides or if anyone thinks that we have some kind of grasp of reality in these matters.
I've got no grasp of reality.
Very sensitive topics like international war crimes and things. It's always just nice to know that we're not completely going off on one.
Okay. Should we go through the board?
Oh, you got the whiteboard? I didn't even notice it. All right, then let's have a look then. Number one. People in Lotro discussing the, quotes, problem of what to do when the ring is destroyed.
Yeah, I was logged in during the week, and there were people in there on the out-of-thingy chat.
Oh, yeah.
And they were discussing about what turbine we're going to do when the ring's destroyed and the massive problem that this was going to bring.
Uh-huh. You can get so far with a scouring of the Shire instance, but beyond that,
Also, I'd like...
So this is actually live, this was going on in our OSC chat.
Yeah.
Everyone's concerned already.
Yeah. The problem being, how close to the end of book one are we?
Well, we're not, really. They seem to have gotten to Lothlorien. Book one ends at the bottom of the river, just after Lothlorien. There's a bit of going down the river, and then they have their big Boromir moment. But Turbine have instead decided to go off to Mirkwood, so they've just completely left the story at this point and could stay off the story for as long as it suits them, I suppose. So they're probably not getting any kind of Rohan action until book one's finished, though. The novel book one.
I think we're going to get Rohan next year, probably.
So. Yeah, well, that will have to advance the back onto the main story at that point then.
Yeah.
But even so, there's a lot of backwards and forwards before we even see the ring go into the fire. So
a long time, and whether or not the game will still be going by then is another matter.
Pub quiz low standards, he's written here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was another joint, Van Hemlock Kiasa pub quiz night.
Yeah,
only
couple of us met up locally, went off to the pub, and there was a pub quiz going on.
We only have one of Kilden and Swine due to geographical limitations. Yes, and
Bevis as well.
Yep, mustn't forget him. Although he doesn't have a podcast, so
He should start one. It would be awesome.
We did awfully.
We did really badly. It was about pop music.
We knew none of the questions,
most of which was either outside of our era or we weren't paying attention.
And we came second.
We came second, even though we had this massive debate on the photo questions as to whether Shalimar was actually men or women in that photo.
One of our group thought it was a woman,
and it wasn't Salt and Pepper, and it's not Phil Collins. KOTOR, comfy place.
Oh, I've covered that already.
You covered that sort of reality of effects. What are you even talking about there?
I don't remember.
This is some tedious nonsense about the Uncanny Valley, is it?
It could have been. I don't know.
And at the bottom, you've written in huge letters, plug WDA! Exclamation mark.
Yes, Warp Drive Active's back.
Hey, excellent.
Yay.
Good stuff.
A bit less urban.
A bit less urban, a bit more blinky.
Yeah.
And they're back.
Yes, a nice community-driven interview-type format now, and it was quite interesting. Everyone... go over there and have a listen. But
I know quite a few of our listeners play EVE. Well, this is a podcast just for you folks.
All the cool people play EVE.
All the cool people listen to Warp Drive Active as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's round up. What did you learn this week?
I learned that it's not Phil Collins.
I learned that Shalimar is a woman. And with that,
we'll
see you next time.
Anyway?
I don't know. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.